This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. Today's liturgy has three significant mysteries for us to consider: the institution of the priesthood, the institution of the Eucharist, and the commandment of the Lord for fraternal charity, to love one another as I have loved you. Three great mysteries. First, Jesus institutes a new priesthood. Now, a priest is a mediator between God and men. Jesus became a priest at the moment of his incarnation. But at the moment of his conception in the womb of Mary, taking on our humanity, Jesus became a priest. He mediated between heaven and earth, between God and man. Now, Jesus is born of Mary, who is of the tribe of Judah, not a descendant of Aaron. And the letter to the Hebrew tells us that God said nothing regarding priesthood in the tribe of Judah. So why did Jesus institute the new priesthood from the tribe of Judah, and not according to the Old Testament priesthood of Aaron, but according to the order of Melchizedek? He institutes this new priesthood because he wanted his apostles and their successors to continue the new sacrifice. The temple sacrifice is being replaced by a new sacrifice and a new priesthood. New wine is poured into new wineskins. Something new is happening. Just as you saw that the Old Testament was founded on the 12 tribes of Israel, the New Testament is founded upon the 12 apostles. Something new is happening. St. Paul reminds us that the Israel of God is the church. It's people of faith. Now it's believers. They're the ones who are the inheritors of the promise of Abraham. Something new is happening here. So Jesus is giving us a wonderful gift. So when there's a change of priesthood, there necessarily is a change of the law as well. And it was at the Last Supper that Jesus prayed the high priestly prayer over his apostles, ordaining them to be priests who would act in his very person. Then he consecrates bread and wine as his own body and blood. And during the meal, he commanded his apostles, "Do this in memory of me." He gave them the power to do what he himself had done, so that down through the ages, we could have the Eucharist. Down through the ages, Jesus could be with us, Emmanuel, God with us, in and through the Eucharist, brought to us by a priesthood. Do this in memory of me. And then he goes on to wash the feet of the apostles, showing humble service, and he commanded them to do the same. So a priest does an awful lot of things that might not be recognizing. Now, the institution of the Eucharist is the fulfillment of the ancient Passover. In our first reading, we heard about that first Passover. It was the 10th plague. It was going to have the death of all of the firstborn of Egypt, of man and beast alike. But the children of Israel were given the Passover sacrifice. And it wasn't just praise, it was praise and worship. That worship is sacrifice. They had to take a lamb, and they had to slaughter it in the evening twilight. They had to put its blood on the doorpost of their house, the lintel on the doorpost. It wasn't going to come off. It's not going to wash off onto that raw wood. And it had to mark the houses, and that night they had to eat the lamb. And the destroying angel would pass over them. That was that first Passover. And the next day they found their deliverance from the slavery and the bondage of Egypt. Now Jesus is doing something just like that. Jesus is giving us a freedom away from all the slavery of sin, ultimately even the slavery of death. That's what he's doing. He's giving us a sacred meal. So just as in the Old Testament there was a sacrificial lamb, now we're going to find that John the Baptist identifies Jesus as the Lamb of God. We say that in Agnus Dei. We say that three times. Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. We have the priest holding up the chalice and the host. Behold the Lamb of God. This is Jesus. This is our paschal sacrifice. This is the one who washes away our sins in his own blood. This is all about blood. This is about the death of the Lord, and a death that we deserved, and he took upon himself so that we could be forgiven. That's the mystery of this New Testament sacrifice. That's the gift that we've been given. Again, we find in the second reading, St. Paul tells us how it's to come about. And then he says, as often as you eat and drink of it, you're remembering the death of the Lord. We want to do that. He invites us to do that. Now, the church transfers the Sabbath worship of the Jews to the Sunday, the first day of the week, in honor of the Lord's resurrection. Again, new wine is poured into new wineskins. Something new is happening. We are the Israel of God. We are the ones who inherit the promises. It's moved away from the Old Testament. Now it's into the new. Something new is happening. Watch out for the notion that somehow we're supposed to support everything that politically happens in the land of Israel. That's not the Israel of God. That's a political entity today. Watch out for backing it simply out of a mistaken theological understanding. Again, consider the beauty of the sacrifice that Jesus has given us. He gives us his own body and blood. Lastly, he calls us to fraternal charity. He says, love one another as I have loved you. He died for us. And the washing of the feet by Jesus is much more significant in that time than in our own. People walked around barefoot. And the idea of washing feet, that was what slaves did. And he makes himself a slave. He humbles himself to the ground. He washes the feet of his disciples. And we find that Peter objects, Master, then wash me all the way. And Jesus says, anyone who has been washed already is clean. They only need to have their feet washed. The fathers of the church remind us that's baptism, where we're all washed clean. But because the feet are in contact with the rest of the world and, if you will, all of the senses and all of the temptations and all of the sins, the feet need to be washed again. That's confession. That's the cleansing that comes after baptism. All of these are the gifts that Jesus bestows upon us. And he wants us to wash the feet of one another. That's how deep is the forgiveness we have to give to one another, the service that we give to one another. You've seen priestly service. You've seen the service of a Mother Teresa laying down her life for all of those poor urchins suffering and dying in the streets. She poured herself out. And we are called to do the same for our children, for the elderly around us, for a spouse. We're offering ourselves for them. The whole point of the faith is not what I get out of it, it's what I can give to it. And we give ourselves to Christ. We give ourselves to our neighbor. Love one another as I have loved you. It's the gift of self, the sacrifice of self. One final thought. There's a profound and essential connection between the Eucharist and the cross, between what happens on Holy Thursday at the Last Supper, what happens tomorrow at the crucifixion, between the Lord giving us his own bodily sacrament, his own body and blood, and our sharing in the Passion. And it's no less important for us to take part in both. We draw supernatural strength from the Eucharist to carry our cross after him. There's no sense in pretending that we can somehow be great believers and not take up our cross and follow him. The Eucharist and the cross are linked in the mystery of our redemption, both in Jesus' life and in our own. Together, they lead us to the resurrection. As St. Paul says, if we have died with him, we shall also rise with him.